All right, so today we're carrying on with Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, the parable of the sower. This is the fifth part, and I suspect that the way it's going, we might have several parts to come. But like I always say, it's not just about rushing through the scriptures, it's reading through the scriptures and asking that God will help us to apply the things that we learn. So even if we spend time on just two lines, as long as those two lines in the scriptures affect our lives in a practical way, then I think if that happens, as I'm sure it will, then I think I've done my own part of the job, so to speak. So we're continuing with Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 today. Now, if you've got your Bibles, can you turn there with me and I will read. I'm reading the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. You can just follow me on that one. Okay, I'll read. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the soil came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered away because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whosoever has ears, let him hear. So, well, we've been looking at the parable of the sower, or in more modern terms, the parable of the farmer. And we've looked at a number of things. We looked at the sower, the farmer himself, what he probably had in mind with regards to the planting of the seeds. We looked at the harvest that the word of God wants to bring into our lives, and a number of other things. So last week we looked at the first soil, and that soil was the soil of the wayside, or the path soil. So that's what we looked at last week. Today we're going to look at the next soil type. So just to summarize, in this Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 9 that we read, it describes four types of soils: the path, the rocky, the thorny, and the good soil. And in terms of, I describe, still looking at the intro now, these particular types of soils as the way each of us responds to the Bible, responds to the Word. So for some of us, we would respond with a thorny heart towards a certain portion of scripture, whilst on the other hand we respond like the soil that bears fruit. So this types of soil, they're not just hard and fast about one individual behaving in a particular way consistently in that perspective. I believe that for these rocky, thorny, and good soil, and these four types of soil, we all, you know, should I say, they apply to us on with regards to different parts of the Word of God. So when we say the soil type here, we're describing how we accept, how we respond to the Word of God when it comes to a particular area of our lives. So that's what I will term it as. The other point I made was that in the whole equation here, even if the farmer sows, you know, good seed, which is the word of God, the soil still has a big part to play. And one of the things I mentioned about the seed, which is the word of God, is that there is no problem at all with the word of God. In fact, in the whole equation between the sower or the farmer, the seed, and the soil, the word of God is the only constant there. So if there's any challenge, or if there are any issues at all with regards to bringing forth fruit, it is never, ever the Word of God. It's either the soil that it's been planted on, which is the main thing, and maybe sometimes the sower. But as long as the sower sows that seed, then it appears that the onus now lies solely on the soil in this context. So we looked at, we divided this parable sections into three parts. We looked at the sower, number one, the word of God, number two, and the third section, the soils. All right, so that's kind of like the background. Today we're looking at the second type of soil, which the Bible here refers to as the rocky soil. I'll read verses 5 and 6 again of Matthew chapter 13, just to give us context. So we're looking at the rocky soil this evening. It says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered away because they had no root. So that's the soil that we're looking at today. So what's described here is a rocky, it says it's a rocky type of soil. And the farmer goes there and he, you know, sprinkles some of the seed around. And straight away, the Bible tells us they sprang up so quickly. And I'm just imagining what the farmer must have thought, looking out from his window, peering out onto the field. I'm sure he probably would have looked at this rocky soil and said, wow, what is happening here? This is what I'm talking about. This is the type of seed that I want. This is the type of harvest that I want. And he's probably there sitting with his family or his friends, and he's really joyful when he looks out and is like, you know, guys, I just went out last 2 weeks and I put this thing on the soil. And look, just you guys look out through the window. Sprung up already. Then something happens. The guy now comes back a week later. And before he came back, there was a weather report. And the weather report said it's going to be really, really, really sunny for the next few days. And the farmer is like, oh, we love the sun. We love the sun. Particularly if you live in England. We love the sun. We love the sun. And the sun blares out for a few days. And the guy stays indoors. He's like really thinking about the seed hat that he's sown. He's really happy thinking, well, when the sun calms down a bit, I'm just going to take a walk and, you know, just inspect my harvest since it's coming up so quickly. Then what happens? The sun comes down, comes up, and after a week, the sun goes. And this guy peers out through the window, and to his utter horror, the whole thing has been scorched. The plants that the harvest that he got, everything is no longer green. They're all withered away, they're brown, they're scorched. That's the scenario of the rocky ground here, or the rocky soil. So Jesus said here, it's the type of seed that you put it on this kind of ground and it springs up quickly. But after a while, the sun comes up and it scorches the whole thing. So the long and short of this is that no harvest for Mr. Farmer at all. How disappointed he must have been. Now, we know that Jesus spoke a lot in parables. How does this apply to us? Well, Jesus described this parable, then I will describe this a lot. I'll try and relate this to our lives as I go along tonight. So in Matthew chapter 13, 20 and 21, same Matthew chapter 13, Jesus describes this parable. And I'll read Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, okay, so sorry, it was just 20 and 21, I think I. So he says that the rock is, so, is this scenario is someone who hears the word, they receive it with joy, and because they have no root, it lasts only for a short time. So Jesus is describing the scenario here where someone comes to church, for example, and depending on what kind of church you guys go to, I know that when after the lockdown, we're going to be like, in fact, I can hardly wait. So, Pastor Benson's not at church, I'm just saying, for example, and Pastor Benson is preaching, and I'm saying, and I'm, quoting from the Bible, and I'm saying, God has your back. God's going to take care of you. And I'm preaching, and you're on your seat, and you're excited. You're like, yes, I heard the word today. And you leave the service, you're out there ready to face the world, ready to take down anything that comes your way. And something happens. And suddenly, all the words that you held on so dearly to, that you were excited about, fades away. I was like, did I even really hear? What really happened here? Well, we'll look at an example here of Peter in the Bible, and I'll try and make an analogy here. But one thing about this type of soil, the one we're talking about, the rocky type, I highlighted five things here about this so that we put this at the back of our minds about this type of soil, five characteristics, as Jesus outlined here. It says the first thing, and I'm sure you guys can really relate to this because I can. I know there have been times I've heard a word, I've been so excited, and this exact thing happens to me. The good news is, before we finish today, I will give us, I'll try and give us an understanding of how we can deal with this kind of situation. So it's not just going to be me describing the rocky ground and we all go away sad. No, I'll, give us pointers with regards to how we can deal with this so that we don't stay in this place of the rocky or the stony heart. All right, so five things about this type of ground is this. It says it receives the word with joy. You hear a word and it's so exciting. You're like, yes, I've got it. The second thing is this type of rocky ground doesn't, because it's rocky, the seed can't really burrow down its roots into the rock. So no roots, it just springs up. Second thing. Third thing is that the word endures for a while. So it appears that the person is excited about the word, maybe for a week, for for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even for a year. So the word is there and it endures for a while. The fourth thing is that something begins to happen. Persecution comes and the person straight away, hits the bump on the road. And the fifth thing is that that's the end of it. He stumbles. I was just remembering yesterday we had a study and we're looking at faith. We're looking at a number of things. And I was just thinking about the examples that a lot of us gave yesterday. And someone said, faith, you really know what kind of faith you have when you hit a bump on the road. And, people said a lot of things about it. So this is saying that the bump on the road appears in this kind of soil and the person falls apart. The words that they've listened to, the words that they thought that they really took to heart. When persecution comes, when trouble comes, when hardship comes, it reveals to that person that, hang on, this word that you thought you had taken to heart, you didn't really take it to heart. You were just cool with it because everything around you was fine till the point that, there was a bump on the road. That's when you now realize that this word that I thought I had, it really, really didn't sink down into me. So let's look at a man in the Bible, Peter. We're going to look at Peter just as he typifies this, or I'll just try and bring some highlight some points here. So we're looking at Peter, two portions of scripture. The first one I'm going to read is Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 to 33. We're looking at Peter to try and describe this type of soil, the rocky one. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 to 33, and I'll read. It says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Now listen to this. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Now, this scenario, Jesus was going to be crucified very shortly. And he said to them, his disciples, last dying hour, you know, and he said, you guys are going to desert me. And Peter said, what? I'm sure Peter probably even felt insulted. He said, what? I'm paraphrasing now, by the way. What? Deny you? If, then he says, even if everyone here denies you, I, Peter, am actually even ready to die with you. And you know the interesting thing here is, I believe that Peter actually meant it. Now let's look at what happened to Mr. Peter. Fast forward it to the evening. Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read verses 69 to 75. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. It says, now Peter was sitting in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Can you beat that? Now, then he began to call, he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus, the word that Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. So we see this scenario here where Peter was absolutely sure that come what may, he was going to stand with Jesus. And he probably meant it. And just fast forward to that evening, something happens. He's threatened. His life is threatened because he was probably thinking in his mind, man, if I admit that I know Jesus, it's the cross for me as well. I'm not ready to die at this point in time. My wife is waiting for me at home. And he panicked and he denied Christ. So we see here that this typifies, in a way, this rocky ground where Peter accepted the word. He was excited. He was wholeheartedly committed to it. But the word had no root in him. It had no root. So he probably just understood, took the word. It was in his mind, but it didn't really mix in his heart per se. It hadn't gotten to the point where he really, really, really meant it. So mentally, he thought, yeah, I'm good. I'm with this. But this word that he heard had not really taken root in his heart. So when persecution came, when trouble came, he panicked and he threw it away. But the thing was that Peter was very, very, very disappointed in himself as well. And the Bible says he went out and he cried. So what I'm saying here is this. This thing happens to everybody. And I believe that it's not really to make us feel bad. There are two ways we can take this kind of scenario. We can be so upset with ourselves and we say, look, it's what's the point? I might as well just give up. That's one approach, which is not the recommended one. But when we face trouble and we find out that the word that we have listened to has not really taken root in our hearts, it gives us an opportunity to walk on it. And I'll describe how we can do so in a few minutes. I remember once, I think I've given this example as well previously. I was at church one Sunday, a couple of years ago. And I was preaching, you know, I was like, you know, God says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, that he'll take care of us. Anything that happens, know that God has got your back. It's not really you, you know, so on and so forth. Even if you get to the office and they say you have to leave your job, just smile. Why? Because 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Matthew chapter 6, God says that we should not worry about what we'll eat or drink. that he will be with us, he will provide everything. And I quoted all those things, and everyone was saying, yeah. Well, sorry, they weren't saying, yeah, we're British in our church, we are not Americans. So they're quite reserved, I'd say. But thank God the kids are not reserved. So the kids at the back were saying, yeah, pastor, pastor, in their own language. I said, yeah, kids, we're going for the word of God. God is with us. And after the service, I felt pumped. Yeah, now it's time for Sunday lunch. And that was what I was saying, you know? And I got to the office on, it was Monday or Tuesday, and my boss called me to the office that day. And it was a contract that I was on. And when I started this contract with this company, I'd been there for maybe about 2-3 months, and they said, oh, we love your work. You're going to be here. I mean, in this place, the people that come here, they stay here forever. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to stay here forever. This place isn't too far from where I live. It's not like the other jobs that I've had that I've had to travel. So I was like, yeah, you know, and all that. And my boss called me into a room that maybe Monday or Tuesday morning. And as my boss called me, I just knew that that was what she wanted to tell me. But obviously, you know, you have to keep a straight face. And she now said, you know, they're cutting the budget here, and we're just really sorry, but there's no more funding for your contract, and you have to, you know, basically you have about a week or two to leave and all that. And I said, okay, you know, I just put up a strong, bold face. I said, no problem. I know, you know, these things happen, it's all part of, you know, it's all part of life. Thank you very much. And I left. And my boss went back and she sat down, and at that point, I felt like Peter. Do you know what rushed through my mind? In my mind, I just began to think straight away, my goodness, I have a mortgage to pay. My wife is at home. My kids are at home. I have this to do. How am I going to get money? What am I going to do? You know, so at that point, I panicked initially. But obviously, I didn't show it outside. I just put a straight face on. And I panicked. I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Because all those thoughts flashed through my mind. In like 5 seconds, my whole life went through. It just went like a flash. How would I pay my mortgage? How would I, so on and so forth. Actually, I even think we had planned a holiday. We're going to go on holiday the next week. Can you beat that? So I was like, man, should I cancel that holiday? What should we do? Then suddenly something came to my mind. And, you know, it was like a whisper. And the whisper that came to my mind is kind of like, wow, Pastor Benson, how are you doing? And straight away, I just knew that, God, you've got me there. My mind now went back to all the things I've been, you know, puffing about on the Sunday, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, whatever, you know, and all that. So when that happened to me, God just brought back everything I said. So at that point, it was now left to me whether my reaction was going to be the rocky kind of reaction where I just, you know, panicked and just began to worry. Or what was I going to do? What was I going to do? Well, that's the last part that I'm going to talk about here. What do you do? How do you deal with this kind of situation so that you don't fall into the category of the rocky heart? You know, when you hear bad news or when things happen out of the blues unexpectedly, what do? How do you handle it so that you don't become like the rocky ground here? Well, I'll give us a number of points. Now, these points, I'm a very practical person. Anything that I preach about or I speak about, I take it myself as my own medicine as well. So it's like you go to a doctor and they say, you have to take your vitamins 3 times a day or something like that. I have to take my vitamins as well. So I'm not exempt from this. So these things I'm talking about are things that I have to go and work on as well. So that when I face trouble, I can really handle it. So we'll look at a number of things that will really help us. And those are the things that helped me in the past as well. And it can be in any area of your life, not just your job or what, you know, just any area of your life. I'm just going to mention five things quickly and we'll pray. The first thing you want to realize is this. John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The first thing you need to realize is that you will definitely have trouble as long as you're on this earth. There is no way that you're going to sail through till you're 80 or 100 and you won't at least come across a few surprise challenges. Am I saying God is one that brings them? No. Life brings problems, I tell you. Jesus told his disciples in John 6:33 here that he said to them, guys, paraphrasing, in this world, you cannot escape it. You will have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, but relax. I have overcome the world. So the first thing you and I need to realize is that we will face trouble. You cannot escape it. I can't escape it. So just take that as a given to start with. That if you haven't really faced trouble, congratulations, you will shortly, because Jesus said so. So when we face trouble, let's not think that, you know, we're the only ones that have experienced that kind of thing before. No, Jesus said that you will. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing is this. Don't panic. Why am I saying don't panic? You know, when you face that kind of, you know, surprise situations like that, like I faced, you know, a few years ago, and I still face constantly, actually. One thing is this, don't panic. If you panic, calm yourself down. Now, how do you calm yourself down? You want to calm yourself down because, one, you realize that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So the second thing is that you need to calm yourself down and remind yourself that, look, no matter how insurmountable that trouble is that has just appeared suddenly, one, God knew about it. The Bible tells us that God knows the end from the beginning. So even though it might have been a surprise to you, it wasn't a surprise to God. Number two, God has said in his word that whatever it is that comes your way, God said, he will make sure that it is not the kind of trouble that can overwhelm you if you stick with him. So you relax and you calm yourself down to say, okay, yes, I'm not quite sure what's happening here. I'm not quite sure about how this trouble came. However, I'm going to relax. I'm going to calm myself down because, one, God knows about this. Two, God has said he will not allow anything that can topple me over come my way as long as I stick with him. So the second thing I want to say is this. Let us relax and calm ourselves down. And if you're still not calm and you're still feeling a bit fretful, let's look at what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So the second thing is that you calm yourself down and you go to God and you pray. And I say, God, I'm really, really scared in this matter. Help me. I remember that day very clearly in my office when I was told that I had 2 weeks after I thought I was going to be there for 2 years. Like I said, I panicked initially, but I calmed down. I said, hang on, Pastor B, there's no panic in this situation. You need to calm down, man. And I did, because I remember that I said, okay, hang on, this hasn't taken God by surprise. And I trust God. He's not going to let me face anything that is going to, like, you know, shipwreck me. So what else did I do? I went to the toilet and I knelt down and I said, God, thank you for this. No problem. This job has gone. I know I panicked a bit. Apologies for that, but that's how I felt. Now, over to you, God. What next? So we go to God sincerely. Tell him what's on your mind, because he's your father. So there's no need going to God to say, oh, lofty one. I know I panicked, but it was not a proper panic. I was just, my temperature was just up, but I'm good. No, you tell him that, God, man, I need help in this matter. Now, tell me, what's going to happen here? So God wants us to come to him. So number one, know that you're going to, trouble will come. But number two, don't panic, because God is there for you, as he said here. And you talk to him and tell him exactly how you're feeling. All right, so the third thing is this. Okay, I've already said the third thing, which is that we tell God how we feel. So that's the third thing. Now, two more things. So the first two that I've just mentioned are things that you do kind of like on the spot, as in, well, things that you consider before trouble comes, which is also that you, you know, do when trouble comes. One, trouble comes, you know, don't panic and just talk to God about it. But apart from that, I believe that if we're going to really overcome trouble properly in the context of this in the future, and or if maybe currently you're facing some sort of trouble and you're panicking about it, no problem. You've spoken to God about it. There are a number of things that you need to do. And I'm not a step one, step two, step three kind of guy. No. Bringing us back to the Bible here, you need to dig deep. Now, this soil that we're talking about was quite rocky. So the seed could not, the root from the seed could not go down. So in this situation, to bring yourself out of a place where your heart is rocky, where you receive the word with joy, but you panic and you're, you know, you need to dig deep, break up the rocky ground of your heart in that area and let the seed go down into your heart. Now, how do you do that? You know, one thing is this, and this is really important. In digging deep, it's a process. It's not just something that happens straight away. It's a process. And digging deep is not complicated at all. Digging deep is just forming the habit on a daily basis to take time apart and to study the Word of God, which is the seed we're talking about, and to meditate on the Word of God. Well, when I mean meditate on the Word of God, I'm talking about thinking about what you've read in the Bible. God, you said that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Then you begin to imagine how God will never leave you, how God will never. So that's meditating, when you're constantly thinking about the Word of God. So the fourth thing is you need to dig deep. I need to dig deep constantly. So take time apart every day to study the Word of God and to think about it through the day. And I'm going to be really straight with us. If you do not do that, if I do not do that, and we think that, oh, I can just listen to a sermon on Sunday, I'm telling you, it's not going to do it. If you do not form the habit. Now, I know that there are times that we're not going to be able to study the Bible every day because things happen, but you and I need to make the decision today that I'm going to wake up or find time where I spend some time. Maybe I'll read one chapter of the Bible every day and I'll pray. Take time out. If you don't, or if I don't, I'm telling you, the rocky ground will persist in your life. And there's no microwave quick way to deal with this. It is just very simple. You and I taking time every day, studying the Word of God and meditating on it. As we do that, what will begin to happen is that your heart that is rocky, my heart that is rocky in different areas, will begin to give way to a heart that is firm, a heart that is unmovable. And that's the heart, the last heart that we're going to look at. A heart that when trouble comes, it is confident that no panic at all. It knows that, yes, the Word of God has said this. God, but you and I can only get there in every area of our lives as we put time apart. Take time out every day, if we can, to study the Word of God and to think about it. And Psalm 119 verses 13 and 15 says, with my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. It says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. And 15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. So the fifth thing is we need to dig deep, break up the rocky thing, break up your rocky heart. And the way you do this, like I said, is studying the Word of God deliberately. If you're not deliberate about it, you won't. But I'm sure that God will help us to be deliberate. The last thing I want to mention here is this. You and I need to make a decision. Every day you wake up, make the decision that no matter what comes your way, you are going to rely on God. You're not going to rely on yourself. So this is what I called God confidence, not self-confidence, like Peter was. Peter was self-confident at that point. He's like, yeah, I'm up to it, I can do it. No, if you want to do it by yourself, I can guarantee you that you're going to stumble all the time. But God is not expecting us to do it on our own. He wants us to rely on Him and on His Word. So the last thing tonight is, like I mentioned, that we make a conscious decision that whatever comes my way, I am going to rely on God. Psalm 53, verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalm 60, 53, sorry, 56, verse 3. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and we do not put any confidence in the flesh. So Paul was saying, I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm going to trust in God. All right. So we're going to stop there tonight. So we've looked at the second type of soil, which is the rocky soil. And we've said this is a soil that receives the word, but when trouble comes, panics and just throws the thing away. But we've been able to look at the fact that even though we might have that kind of heart in a particular area of our life or certain areas of our life, there's a remedy. And we've looked at some of the remedies, which is one, understanding that trouble comes, but number two, not panicking. Number three, going to God sincerely about how we feel about the situation. Number four, digging deep into the Bible, studying the Word of God. And number five, making a conscious decision on a daily basis that come what may, rain or shine, you will trust in God. Let us pray. I'm just going to pray for us.